Hour, Darren Donick and Chase and D-Mace here on this snowy Monday. Mike Vrabel is about to speak to the media in preparation for the Bengals Saturday afternoon in Nissan Stadium. They'll get the divisional round going. Mike Vrabel press conference sponsored by Tire Man. Tire Man for all your company tire needs, construction equipment, or fleet maintenance. Call them at 615-663-6040. Here's Mike Vrabel.
Tomorrow. So, and thank you for the time today. Now that you know your opponent, how much does the rest of having the bye come into play now that you have an opponent to game plan for and such a high-powered offense led by Joe Burrow?
Yeah, I mean, excellent football team. I think the rest is only, you know, it's only going to be advantageous, and it's only going to help us if we've been able to take advantage of it and do things that can help us get healthy, maintain and improve conditioning, get rest, you know, all those things that we hoped for, and then start our practice. We've been preparing, obviously, as coaches and, you know, trying to, you know, be ready to go for when these guys come in the morning.
Jim?
And you touched on Burrow there, Mike. You faced him last year. What maybe impresses you most about him as a quarterback and the weapons around him?
Well, they're really explosive. I mean, we didn't have many answers for him last year. You know, so hopefully, you know, he just was able to extend plays and they, you know, they made a lot of plays down the field, receiver-wise. So, you know, we'll have to be better in all phases. We turn the football over and, you know, again, that was a long time ago, but obviously we're very aware of the type of football team that this is and how good they are.
Trump?
Yeah, Coach, speaking of Burrow and that connection that he and Ja'Marr Chase have, can you just kind of get into what you're seeing as far as like what has led to them to being so productive as a tandem this year?
The first pick in the draft and the fourth pick of the draft. So, obviously, a lot of talent. And then I think that the trust and the connection that you referenced, you know, is there. You know, it's there down the field, you know, whether it's back shoulder, whether it's in the quick game, you know, but I think he has that, you know, with Higgins and Boyd, you know, they don't have any issues throwing the football. He's really good and instinctive in the pocket to be able to avoid what rush there may be, and has the ability to extend plays and keep his eyes down the field and the arm talent to get those guys the ball.
Terry?
Mike, given, you know, whether Derek is back or with Deontay Foreman and Hilliard, all the running backs that you have, how much is it, can it be an advantage this time of year that all three of those guys have pretty much fresh legs? None of them have 300 or 400 carries under their belt this year.
I guess they have fresh legs. I don't know, Terry, you know better than I would, I guess, but you know, we're going to need to run the football. You know what I mean? We're going to need to do that to, you know, to be who we are and to be at our best and not be one-dimensional, to be able to run it, to set up things, to be able to, you know, to run our offense. And that's always been in critical, and, you know, this will be a big week of practice for us to continue to get Derek back out there and, you know, get him acclimated to running the football and just seeing blocking schemes and seeing how guys – where guys are and see where the cuts are.
Buck?
Yeah, Mike, outside of, you know, just playing in a condensed space in the red zone, was there anything that stood out to you about the way that the Raiders kind of played Cincinnati in that game?
Well, they tried, you know, I mean, early on, I felt like, you know, they kept it in front of them. You know, I mean, I think that ended up getting them, but they, you know, they tried to keep it in front of them. You know, they tried to affect the quarterback. You know, again, there's going to be a lot of things that we'll watch, a lot of games that we'll watch and continue to see what fits for us and what we think we need to defend.
Joe Rapshaw.
Yeah, my question for you on Shane. He's talked a lot about the kind of the relationship side of things in terms of trying to bring this defense along and improve this season. Just wondering how you've seen him attack that specifically, and you know, how important is that in his job?
I think we all want to try to attack our job, and you know, everybody's got a different personality. Everybody's got a different style. In the way that they make a connection with their position group or their unit. And I think that that's really critical. You know, a lot of different people have different personalities. In the end, it's about how you can bring a group together and get them to believe in what we're doing and make sure that they understand what we're doing and get them to believe in the style in which we play. So, you know, it's going to be critical this week. You know, it's going to be critical that we get back out there and have a great week of practice, have a great week of preparation, and then be ready for whatever situation comes up on Saturday.
But just real quick, just on Shane and what he has done, can you speak to that?
You know, we'll talk about the, you know, what everybody's done, you know, when the season's over. I think what's most important, Joe, is that we focus on what we're going to do and not what we've done.
Luke?
Mike, this is a Bengals team that was picking fifth or fourth in the draft last year. What has changed? What has improved to make them as good as they've been this year when last year didn't go so well?
I mean, they got really good skill players. I think the defense has been, you know, good. They've stopped the run. You know, they've gotten turnovers. This team hasn't had a turnover offensively in five games. And, you know, when you can go out there and do that, that gives you a chance. So I think they're really talented. I think their skill players are really talented. I think they have some guys that can affect the quarterback. You know, they're rushing the quarterback with two really good ends. You know, Reader's been really good against the run. He's tough to block. You know, Ogunjobi is going to be able to penetrate and attack the line of scrimmage. You know, so there's a lot of things that they're doing really well.
John Gunner.
Mike, you mentioned the importance of your running game a little bit earlier. As far as the offensive line goes, you've actually had these guys together for the last couple of weeks. Is this about as in sync and healthy as the O-line has been all season?
I mean, it's good to have everybody together. It's good to have some continuity, you know, but we'll have to have guys ready to go, you know what I mean? Because that we know how quickly those things can change through the course of a week or during a game. So, you know, but that's been great that we've had some continuity over the last, you know, couple weeks.
Paul?
Maybe picking up on that, Mike, can you talk us through Taylor's progress from the early season struggles with the knee and the cramping and stuff? Has he settled back into himself down the stretch here?
Yeah, I mean, we expect a lot out of Taylor. We expect a lot out of, you know, everybody that we put out there. And so I would say that, you know, we just need to continue to keep doing what we've been doing, try to do it a little bit better. You know, and again, we'll continue to coach up the mistakes and we'll make sure that his efforts and everybody else's efforts are doing what's going to help us. And then I just, you know, sit here and go back throughout the course of the season. And I don't want to do that. I just want to focus on how we improve Paul moving forward. And Taylor's got to play better. Roger's got to play better. Ben's got to play better. Like, that's what you have to do in the playoffs in order to win. And that's no secret to them or to me. You know, those are all things that I've already told them, you know. And our quarterback's got to play better, and our receivers and our defense. And that's, you know, we all have to kick the ball better. That's just where we're at in the season.
Jill?
Coach, you mentioned how much the Bengals have improved from a year ago, and their confidence has also skyrocketed from a year ago, and it starts with their quarterback. How much more dangerous is a playoff opponent when their quarterback is not just talented on the field, but also just bleeding with so much confidence in him and his team's ability in the postseason?
Well, I think it's a reflection, and I think the entire team feeds off of it. You know, the coaching staff feeds off of it. The players feed off of it. And, you know, and it's rightfully so. You know, they've gone out and they've earned that. And, you know, Joe's done a fantastic job. You know, it's a huge challenge to be able to go there and defend him. You know, defend him when he has options and defend him when he's, you know, doesn't look like there's any issues from the knee injury and what he's been trying to do. So there is a lot of confidence, and rightfully so.
Thank you.
Chris Harris.
Mike, what do you hope and expect the atmosphere to be like on Saturday?
Well, I mean, it should be amazing. You know, I mean, it should be amazing atmosphere. It's playoff football in January. We've had amazing support the entire season. You know, we got support in Houston. It was really cool to see those fans that traveled down there. Thankful that we could reward them with a win, and hopefully that they're ready to get back into our stadium and have an atmosphere that helps us win on Saturday.
Corey Curtis.
Coach, of course, everybody's going to talk about their receiving core with Chase and Higgins and Boyd. How much of that for you starts up front with the guy in the trenches and winning at the line of scrimmage?
Well, I think that, you know, I mean, you can either cover them really good or you can rush them really good. Hopefully both. But, you know, I think that they have had, you know, they've done a nice job when Riley went down. You know, Prince has stepped in there and, you know, looks like they really haven't missed much of a beat. And, you know, Williams has settled into, I think, the pro that everybody thought he would be, left tackle, you know, big Q. You know, I'm sure he'll be ready to go and fired up to play us. And he's had a good year. Hopkins, you know, it seems like they've settled with him at center. So, you know, it's obviously something that they've improved and focused on.
Steve Lyman.
Mike, you talked about how well Burrow is playing and how much confidence they can take off of his performances this year and the need for you guys to somehow affect that in this game. How much more confidence can your team take from the way you've rushed the passer this year and the way you've defended on the back end this year compared to when you faced them a year ago?
Well, every week is different, Steve, and you know there's going to have to be some corrections from the Houston game in that regard. So every week is different. We'll see what the plan is and see how we execute it and what we'll need to change as the game goes on, based on, you know, what we're seeing and what's, you know, we feel like is working and what needs to be, you know, changed a little bit, but. You know, the only thing that matters is this week. You know, this is what, how we cover and how we rush this week is going to be what's most important.
Ben.
Hey, Mike, we know the weapons that Burrow has at receiver, but Joe Mixon, what kind of stands out to you about kind of his play and what he's been able to do for them in the backfield? How much of a challenge is he?
Huge challenge, obviously talented. Third in the league in carries, so there's a lot of durability there. Third in the league in yards. I've always, you know, had a lot of respect for him and his ability to stretch and cut. He's got great vision, and, you know, obviously that's when you talk about the receivers and having the amount of yards that the quarterback's thrown for, sometimes, you know, the runner gets, you know, he's kind of gets buried behind all those other receiving yards, but he's had a great, great year and he's a very good runner.
Emily.
Yeah, Coach, it sounded like the two main objectives for last week was to focus on yourselves, but then also focus on the teams that you hadn't faced this year. How much work were you able to get done on the Bengals, and then how much work were you able to get done on yourselves?
I guess we'll see Emily on Saturday if it was enough. But, you know, I like the work. I like the work that we did. I felt like guys came back energized yesterday. I felt like we had good work yesterday to be able to get out and do some stuff. You know, they'll have today off, and then we'll get back rolling tomorrow with our normal, you know, weekly preparation.
A couple of follow-ups, Teron.
Yeah, Coach, I always like to get the message that you have at the beginning of the week. So as you start to get the guys back in the building, what was kind of like your message to them in this before this game?
We'll figure it out later on the week, Teron. I'm done writing articles for you.
You're not writing articles for me, but I appreciate the help.
I know I'm not, Teron. I'm just trying to give you a hard time.
Nah, it's all good, man. I got you. Appreciate it.
Terry? Jim?
Mike, you're fortunate that you've got guys that have playoff experience. What do you tell some of the young guys about the intensity level, maybe keeping your composure early, and do you benefit any from some of these primetime games you played this year?
I think so, maybe. You know, Jim, obviously it's just every yard and every play is critical, every decision that you make. You know, and we'll use these games that have been happening around the league as examples, you know, like we always do. You know, how critical each and every play is, you know, how each and every conversion is critical, every kick, every punt that we cover, the field position, you know, taking care of the football, looking for ways to turn it over against the team that hasn't, all those things that, you know, we talk about in the regular season just becomes, you know, so much more pronounced in the ability to sway games with those factors. So, you know, I know the intensity, I hope that we play hard all the time. I mean, I'm sure it's going to, you know, ramp up a little bit, but, you know, I think that we play hard, you know, every tackle, every missed tackle, every extra pile that we push, all those things that are going to matter to the score.
All right, Coach. That'll wrap us up for
that. All right. There you go. Head Coach Mike Vrabel, that press conference sponsored by Tire Man. Tire Man for all your company tire needs, construction equipment, or fleet maintenance. You can call them at 615-663-6040. When we come back, we'll discuss everything we just heard from the head coach as they get prepared for their game against Cincinnati. But Willie is on the mix, and he's going to tell you about QC Kinetics.
Yes, I am back in the mix. Glad to be in the mix and looking forward to talking to Derek and processing what we just heard there. Big, big week. Wow, it is a big week in our city for sports. All kinds of great action going on. The Predators with four games and, of course, the Titans and the Bengals on Saturday. So glad to be joining the mix. Let me tell you about our friends at QC Kinetics. Their message for the year 2022 is to get yourself moving. If you are getting up there in age and you've been bothered by joint pain, just wear and tear, you know, you love playing, but this is what happens. As you get a little bit older, you start to get the sore knees, the sore ankles, hips, maybe some back pain, and you can't shake it. Maybe you've been recommended steroids or surgery. Maybe you've tried some steroids and it's not working. Here is a treatment that you may want to take a look at. It might be for you. Get a free second opinion from our friends at QC Kinetics. Non-surgical regenerative treatments for joint pain. We're talking lasting results using natural biologics. No surgery, no pain meds, no steroids, and the best, no downtime. You're out, you're moving. It's 2022, and you're doing the things you love to do. So call the local medical professionals at QC Kinetics now and get that free second opinion. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Mike Vrabel speaking with the media, getting the week started in their preparation for their game against the Bengals at home on Saturday. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, our show is presented by Cratian CBD. Cratian CBD products curated for life. This is what I know coming up in about 20 minutes or so. You can win a pair of tickets to see the Eagles at Bridgestone Arena on April 28th. That's what's on the line. But you're going to have to call in and participate. So we're going to make you earn these Eagles tickets back here on the DDC. The suit has left the building. I don't know if he's left the building. He's just left the room. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason with you, affectionately known as D-Mace. What did you guys take away from Mike's presser?
First of all, doesn't Chase live in the building? Doesn't he have a
yeah, that's why I said
residence downstairs?
Yeah,
he's already told us he sleeps in the den, so I don't know why I said he's left the building. He doesn't leave the building.
Well, he just left the upper part of the
building. He's left
the
studio. Right, yes. He's left the studio.
Yes.
Well, here's something I want to throw at D-Mace right away, because I heard a big theme from Mike Vrabel there with a lot of questions, not just one or two. But, you know, every time he was asked about, you know, the great achievement of getting the number one seed, he would pivot to something that amounted to this. Whether he was talking about Taylor Lewan or Shane Bowen or the offense or anything, he said, I don't want to talk about what we've done. It's way more about what we're going to do. It seems like he's really trying to get that mentality across that you have to play better in the playoffs than you have in the regular season. Did you hear that, D-Mace?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to, you know, the moment. Not looking too far ahead, not thinking back. It's the moment. What are we doing in this moment? Yeah, we did achieve a lot of things during the season. Yes, we did. You know, deserve the number one seed in the playoffs. But none of that means nothing if we don't prepare in the moment. If we go out on Saturday and lose, then, you know, what was the number one seed for? Just to sit around for a week, only to lose the next following week? So his thing is just stay in the moment. Let's concentrate on what we're doing today. He said the guys, I believe, will be in later on today. Concentrate on what's going on today or tomorrow morning, and then go from there. We can't worry about what we have done, because what we have done hasn't put us in a Super Bowl just yet. It's given us an opportunity, as it's given a lot of other teams an opportunity. But just because we've done something doesn't mean we're automatically are going to be where we want to go.
I'll give you one, Darren, that I'll throw at you first. You remember that game last year, and I don't know how much it means or not, but one thing that to me is going to be a centerpiece of this game. Last year, we looked at that game and said, boy, the Bengals, number one, they're not a really good team, but they've got a talented quarterback, and they can't protect him. What was the biggest problem with the Titans last year? They couldn't get a pass rush on anybody. But we were thinking leading up to that game, hey, if there's ever a game where you can get your pass rush going, it's against this team.
We were wrong.
And they didn't rush him at all.
He had
a big game, and they never got to him. And he absolutely carved them up. I think if there's one thing this year that I'm circling is what kind of heat can they get on Joe Burrow. It's still a big issue for the Bengals, even though it has improved as the season's gone along. I think the Titans are going to do what they've done all year, try to make you one-dimensional, do some things to try to limit your running game. They've done a good job at that. I think they can do it against the Bengals. But can they hold up? If Joe Burrow has time, it's going to be a problem. But can they get to him? I think that's where the game could be won and lost.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that's in play. I think, you know, the other thing to think about is, one, a lot of things are different from that game last year. I mean, that was right before Joe Burrow would end up being done for the season. Obviously, we know he didn't even make it halfway through the year last year, but his weapons are a whole lot better this year than last year. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase just adds a totally different element to that offense. I mean, Higgins and Boyd are nice, but look how good they are when you've got a Ja'Marr Chase, right? And they don't have to be the guys. And they're good receivers, don't get me wrong. They're good receivers, but I think they're better served in the role that they're in. And having that guy who commands so much attention, they've got a nice tight end that they use a lot. They can run the football, we know, with Joe Mixon. Their offense is really good. I don't know how much you can compare because the Titans on the same, you know, conversely, they're completely different too. I mean, just like what you said, like everything we saw play out in that game, there's just a whole lot of different pieces to both rosters. And we know that's life in the NFL. I mean, it rarely stays the same. So I don't know how much you can take away from it because this year's defense is totally different than last year's
defense. That's what I'm pointing out. It's gone from a complete weakness to, I think, when it's right, it's a strength. And it looks like they're going to have their front four ready to go with a week off. So, D-Mace, I think it's got to be that front four that gets back there and disrupts timing. Because if you don't, you know, you're really playing with fire. It's hard to stop those guys when they have some time.
Well, you can't, as much as we're looking at what the Tennessee Titans have done as a defense. I mean, they made it's been a 180 in regards to getting to the passer. I think they had, not even 20 sacks last year. They got 43.
And 19
last year. They got 43 this year. So whatever they've done, they've been able to get to the passer more frequently than it did last year. Now, here's the deal. You know, the Raiders had a good defensive front as well, and they were able to get to Burrow's twice. Now, can the Titans, with their front four, get to Burrow's two or more times? It's going to have to be a combination of blitz, exotic blitz, disguised blitz, because if you sit there and rush four guys all day with that quick passing game and those guys getting the ball in their hands and getting up the field very quickly and then all of a sudden they hit you with a long strike, you can't sit back there and let a young guy do that. So even though I believe the Titans front four is good, they were able to get those sacks because of what they did with those linebackers. You know, what Simmons, he occupies two guys, and then you bring another guy off his side. They're going to have to disguise their blitzes in order to get to Joe, because that ball is going to be released very fast. They understand that. They know what their weakness is, and that ball is going to be out fast. So the Titans are going to have to get to him somehow, some way, with either blitz. And if they don't get to him, and we've seen this, you know, several times in the last couple of weeks with the Titans, if they didn't get to the passer, what did they do? Those big defensive linemen put their hands in the air and they were able to knock balls down. So if they can't get to Burrows, they got to knock the ball, get their hands up and knock the ball down as well.
What other things that we learned from Mike Vrabel's press conferences? He's not going to write Tron Davenport's articles for him.
But he's not going to give you anything, Joe. I mean, Darren, he's not going to give you anything. It was almost as if he was irritated a little, and he tried to make a joke about it to TD.
Yeah.
But he didn't want to give you anything, especially in regards to what their defense is thinking on how they're going to stop that high-powered offense.
Yeah. And we'll talk with TD coming up at noon.
Well, TD, he likes to get that bumper sticker, you know, that theme. You know, that's what he's looking for is, can you give me a little sense of what you're telling the team as sort of that mindset, that saying that maybe he's going around? It sounds like he didn't want to give it to him today.
No, it's playoff week. You know, I don't think he will. Know, the other thing is Terry McCormick evidently knows about fresher legs more than Mike Vrabel, which I thought was interesting that the head coach didn't know about fresher legs, that Terry McCormick had a better pulse of who had fresher legs than the head coach. I thought that was interesting.
Well, the question was about running backs. Of course, Terry knows fresh legs, but he doesn't know Zoom very well because his follow-up question never got on, which is a common occurrence for Terry. Come on, Terry. Upgrade the Wi-Fi. Let's go.
Hashtag classic Terry.
But, you know, he was asking about the running backs, and I was a little surprised that nobody really tried. Not that for sure he'd give you anything, but I would have tried to gauge Derrick Henry. Give me a little sense of where Derrick is after another week of practice. You know, is he full go this week? Maybe we'll get a sense more in the middle of the week, but that's the question everybody's got. Is he the starter, ready to go, going to be the featured back, or do they have to go with a different plan there? Well, didn't really get any sense of that today.
I mean, he heard his answers. He was like, well, guys, we're going to just see. I mean, he's not going to give you anything that's going to tip off what they're going to do with Derrick Henry. He knows, the offensive coordinator knows, but we will never know until game time.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Nobody asked. Like, don't you think somebody should ask and say, hey, you know, tell me what you saw from Derrick last week. What's your game plan this week? And just see what he says. I mean, you probably won't get anything. But
and nobody asked him if Darrington Evans was going to be available either. That was a little surprising.
I understand why they didn't ask that, because he is not in the plans. But, you know, that's the other thing we're all wondering is how do you deploy Deontay Foreman and Hilliard? You know, can you use all three? We talked about this some last week. McNichols, I think, is back in the fold somewhere.
He's on the practice available, squad.
Right? Practice He's on the squad. Practice squad.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing. You can elevate him at any time. So you got some decisions to make there.
Well, you know, I mean, as long as Derrick Henry is back, I think you go with the you know, Derrick Henry and Foreman and kind of, you know, piece together whoever else needs to be in the backfield. But your two guys that you're going to depend heavy on, well, at least this game is first Foreman and then Derrick Henry, even though I do believe Derrick Henry will be the starter. But I think they'll lean heavy, depending on how the game goes, on Foreman, and then, you know, allow Derrick to come in and get his carries when he needs to.
I'm already in pick six mode, which I don't know why, because I really wasn't impressed with pick six this week, my selections. But what do we think if we were looking for an over-under touches total, not touches, carries total for Derrick Henry, what do we think?
See, that's the question. I think it's a great question. He talked about balance. Looking at the Cincinnati defensive numbers, they have made some strides. They've done a pretty decent job of stopping the run. But the Raiders ran the ball pretty well last Saturday. They ran ran effectively, more effectively than the Bengals did. So and if you take a look at the offensive line for the Titans, I think they're feeling confident, even though he downplayed it. They've got their five guys. They're about as healthy as they're going to be going in, and they've done a very good job, regardless of the running back, of being able to do their thing. So I think if Henry is good to go, I think it's got a chance to be a really exciting day. But over under touches, that's a dangerous thing, because you just don't know until you get out there and start running around if it's going to hold up. And there's so many things that can happen. Remember the game, Derek remembers the game, 2008, Chris Johnson, right? He was having a really good first half. And then suddenly he turned the ankle and the game changed.
Well, no, they turned him.
Hey, what are you talking about, Darren?
Yeah, I didn't say that.
I was there in the press box and I watched it. Baltimore was turning his ankle for him in the second quarter.
Were they?
Yeah.
I don't recall that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's kind of like the whistle, Joe Burrow. Uh-huh. Did you hear the whistle?
No.
I didn't hear a whistle. Did you hear a whistle?
Not really.
Zach Taylor, did you hear a whistle? I didn't hear a whistle. I didn't hear anything. Yeah, that's about the same thing. Twisting the ankle, I didn't see anything.
Well, I mean, the over-under in regards to Derrick Henry, I mean, if you're thinking a normal Derrick Henry in the playoffs versus the Cincinnati Bengals, he would get, what, about 30 carries, 35, somewhere in that range?
Yeah, I think
if they're winning, that's what he's going to get.
And that's the beauty of Henry, is in games where you're behind, he's so good at getting the big chunks, you can still run the ball with Derrick Henry.
Yep. Exactly.
You know, I've seen many games where they've been behind and still
get it. That's how they got back into it.
And they get back in games. So I think in a normal circumstances, you're looking at about 25, but these aren't normal circumstances. So is it like a couple series, see what you've got, then regardless, you know, get Foreman in there for a series and then play it from there?
I think
maybe something like that. I don't know.
I think you got to keep – I think you have to keep really Foreman in rhythm of what he's been doing. Again, because you don't want a situation where, you know, you start to take away Foreman's carries, given to Derrick Henry – God forbid something happens to Derrick Henry, and now Foreman has to get re-energized again to go out there possibly in the second half and the fourth quarter to finish out the game. I think you find a way to, you know, give Foreman the load of the carries while mixing it in with Derrick Henry, and even having, and we talked about earlier on the show, even having both of those guys in the game, to whereas you can steal some plays with Derrick Henry on the field, not necessarily giving him the ball or him being a blocker. He can be a decoy, because we understand and know that when Derrick Henry's on the field, defenses change. So even if he's not getting the ball, then, you know, it still affects what Cincinnati needs to do on the defensive side of the ball. So my thing is 12 to 15 carries, nothing over 20, unless, you know, he's just running that good and you see no need to take him out.
But why would you think he's not going to run? I mean, that, I'm surprised to hear you say that, because when you've been cleared and you've been practicing, you're clear, man. I mean, I don't know what hesitation would there be with Derrick Henry, other than, yeah, I get it. He had a Jones fracture, but it's a broken bone that's healed. Okay, so you move on. You've been cleared.
There's one thing to, you know, be cleared and go out and practice and run around in your shorts, no shoulder pads, a helmet, and nobody, and I mean nobody's touching you.
Yeah.
Nobody better not get near you.
There's consequences.
Exactly. There's consequences. You might
go
be
to
cut.
Time out if you
exactly.
Get
So there's one thing with him doing that, and then there's another when he's lined up at the backfield and he has, you know, 400 300-pounders that want to get to him, and then the linebackers behind that in the secondary as well. That's a different story, because he, as good as Derrick is, and we've seen his workout regimens, you know, when you've been out for a long time, there's being in football condition, and then there's just being in regular condition. He's in good condition, but he needs to get in football condition. That means getting hitting the ground, getting back up, people falling on him. That's why my thing is, ease him into it. You know, you still got Foreman, who's been around and he's done a hell of a job. Ease Derrick into it. And if he's looking good, we all know that Derrick starts off a little slow anyway. But if he's looking good, then you go with it. But if there's any hesitation in his running, then you kind of scale it back and allow Foreman to carry the load.
Yeah, we'll come back. That was sort of my argument for playing him a little bit in the last game, but obviously they didn't feel like that was right. But I think that's what they have to gauge now, because he hasn't played in a game yet.
Tell us what you know on the other side. We've got Eagles tickets on the line, not Philadelphia. No, not them. Not Derek's drunk Eagle that made picks for him years ago. Like the Eagles, the band, they're going to be at Bridgestone Arena in April, and you can win tickets to that, but you're going to have to call in and tell us what you know. I mean, it's that easy. It's open-ended. It's a blank canvas. You paint the picture and tell us what you know. 615-737-1025, 737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But first, a word about Lee Company.
Lee Company, big sponsor of the Nashville Predators. Our coverage continues tonight from St. Louis. The Predators have a very difficult task against a team that's right there in the standings. It's a great race in the Central right now. And St. Louis is 12-1-1 in their last 14 at home. Lee Company will be right there as a big sponsor of our radio coverage. Darren will start our pregame action a little later tonight at 6:30 p.m. here on 102.5 The Game. Lee Company also is ready to help you when it comes to all kinds of needs that you have. Now, it's cold right now. We're all thinking about that. Make sure your heater is running properly. If you need some help with that, 615-567-1000. That's 615-567-1000, or go online at leecompany.com. You can make an online appointment by just going to the website, and then you can continue with your day. Same thing with maintenance for your house. And if you've got home improvement, home renovation ideas, Lee Company can help you with that as well. 615-567-1000 or leecompany.com.
We do. What you know. 615-737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Don't take it easy on the phones. We want you to load up the lines, which you've done. Tell us what you know. Eagles tickets, Bridgestone Arena, April 28th. That's what's on the line. Anybody want to start? Anybody feeling frisky?
I'll start. And this is sort of poking fun at my former teammate and friend, Chris Sanders. This is what I know. If you think the Titans are going to hold the Cincinnati Bengals to no points and just dominate across the board, like Chris said, then you give me some of what you having.
Well,
I'm not saying the Titans are not going to win, because I think they are, but I mean, goodness gracious, the way he said it, that Cincinnati might as well not even walk in the building.
Look, we love forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, but if you looked at his track record in silly underdog picks this year, you would know to kind of disregard his picks. I mean, I'm just saying. Oh, I mean, we love you, but I wouldn't put too much stock into his picks. I'm just saying. Woo.
Wow.
Love you, bro, but I don't know about that one.
Yeah, when I heard that one, I was just like the dog that hears the weird noise. Like, Chris, what? What did you just say? Titans should shut him out. Okay.
Goodness.
Hey, if he gets it right, he'll get the last laugh for sure.
Absolutely.
This is what I know. I only played quarterback up through the ninth grade in pads.
That's not true. Oh, in pads. Okay. I was going to say, you played quarterback when the Titans a long time ago hosted the media for a day behind the scenes. You played quarterback.
But I think any quarterback would know that you can't take off and run with no timeouts and the amount of time that was left on the clock. I was stunned at Dak Prescott taking off and running in the situation and then taking it as long as he could. He completely went into no man's land, and he put the team in peril, and they got burned. I was – what a way to end a season for a great quarterback, a guy that – you know, I think he's done a tremendous job to come back from a terrible injury. But, man, he made a mistake at quarterback 101 where they had done a tremendous job to get down there. They had two cracks at throwing to the end zone, and let's say what it was. The 49ers were taking the gas pipe, man. They were tight. They didn't want to defend a play in the end zone. Throw a couple into the end zone, see what happens. They might have had first a goal at the one on a pass interference. Worst case. I was shocked. That's what I know.
Derek Willie also played quarterback in a flag football tournament that I dislocated my shoulder in.
Yeah.
It ended.
I think I heard
Darren's
about that
season.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. Derek, it wasn't pretty. It ended Darren's season. We did win the game, though.
Yeah, we did. Inspiration. Yeah.
Darren, I think, scored a touchdown early in the game before he went down with the injury.
That's when they started keying on me and they decided to start tackling me, which
I
thought was unfair.
Yeah, he got
unfair.
Tackled in a flag football game, which is really not in the rules.
That's not in the spirit of the game. That's why we wear flags, but they decided to dump me on my shoulder. Anyway, this is what I know, guys. A Friday night, my wife and I went to Lion King at TPAC. And let me just say this. Highly suggest – or highly recommend, if you're thinking about it, before it goes away, I guess here in a week or so, go to it, man. It is so worth it. It is really good. Really, really good. I don't know if you guys have seen Lion King before. It's really good.
Yeah, it's so funny you say that, because I just went into the time machine, because when our kids were really young, I can't remember what year it would have been, but we took them to TPAC to see the Lion King. It had to be, I don't know, now 14, 15 years ago, something like that, but it was awesome. I agree. They put on a great show.
It really is amazing how they're able to pull that off. It's fantastic. So highly recommend it. That's what I know. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's see. Nate, get us started. What do you know?
This is what I know, fellas. While I bash on Willie from 10 to 2 for his sometimes ridiculous opinions, I really do respect him as a play-by-play guy. You do really well with the Preds, calling the Preds, Willie. But with this being said, thank God D-Mace is back to help me and Darren and Chase keep Willie straight. With the signature Willie, that has been missed ever since you left. Derek.
I'm sorry, Willie.
And then you know what we'll do? Then we'll get, you know, heaven forbid, Derek sides with me. Then we'll get the, why do you guys always beat up on Willie? Why don't you leave Willie alone? We'll get all those calls and texts and tweets. Leave Willie alone.
It's like, well, they always say, though, you know, the great players, they make everybody around them better. So that's what we're looking for. D-Mace makes us all better. I'm okay with that.
Willie.
Thank you, Nate. Listen, Willie.
Listen.
We heard that a time or two over the years. Let's see.
Yeah.
Good one. Good way to get us started, Nate. How about Eric? Eric, what do you know?
This is what I know. Willie, Darren, y'all know me for a long time. Growing up, I was a hardcore Dallas Cowboys fan, and there's still a part of me that loves them, so I will never boo them or cheer against them. I don't get upset when they lose because I primarily pull for the Titans now. But all these Cowboys fans and players and people, officials, want to blame the referees for losing the game. The referees did not cost you that game. You cost yourself that game. Being undisciplined with 14 penalties, your inept coach, Mike McCarthy, cost you that game. Dak Prescott cost you that game. Listen, guys, you can't overcome the mistake when you have an incompetent head coach. Maybe if Dak Prescott had a better coach, he'd be doing better, but he's making over $40 million. Josh Allen stepped up. Patrick Mahomes stepped up. You did not step up yesterday, especially on that fake punt, and you tried to get a delay of game penalty on them, and you got a delay of game penalty on yourself. Just stupid, idiotic, just ineptitude. And the coaches and the football quarterbacks at Advance are generally the better quarterbacks and the better head coaches. And as long as you've got that situation going on in Dallas, it's never going to happen, guys, for Jerry Jones. I don't know how much he wants it to. That is what I know. Y'all, Eric, guys, take care.
You know what, though, Eric? They showed a lot of class after the game, the fans, by throwing things at their players. Mm-hmm. Really nice. Really nice.
Yeah, good. That's not cool.
As they were heading to the tunnel. Nice.
You can be upset, but throwing things, that's not cool. No. But he's right. The Dallas Cowboys shouldn't blame the refs. They blame Gregory for tackling the guard.
What was he doing?
Instead of the running back.
How many penalties did he have yesterday? What a ding-dong.
I'm looking. I'm like,
he's not even involved in the play. It's away from the ball. What are you doing?
That was the first holding call on 97. But Gregory, they did run it to his side, but he tackled the guard that was pulling.
Yes.
Instead of the running back. And I'm looking like, what was he thinking? Did he close his eyes to make the tackle?
Did he think he felt a ball in the guard's hands? I mean, what was he doing?
Have no idea.
Just ridiculous. Scott, you're up next. What do you know?
Hey, this is what I know. Number one, I am with you completely on the potato cakes with Arby's. I'm very
thank you. Upset, thank you, Scott.
Upset with that, but also I found a reasonable substitute with the bow rounds at Bojan.
Yes, amen.
So
with
that's
you.
Good and hot.
That's there who's getting is. My business now, Arby's, because you suck for getting rid of potato cakes. Go ahead, Scott.
One other, this is what I know. And it's going to sound kind of strange because I'm actually glad I did not buy tickets to the playoff game this weekend. I was original season ticket holder. My name is on the stadium. Was there at the Music City Miracle. I know about a million people now say they were there, but I was actually there as a season ticket holder. But my wife works in the medical field, and she started feeling a little bit sick yesterday. Goes to work this morning, takes a test, positive for COVID. So I am now in quarantine for the rest of the week, so I'm glad I didn't have to buy tickets for a game that I was going to have to miss.
Oh, man, that stinks. Well, hopefully everything's all right at home, Scott.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right, thanks for the call. And thank you for speaking the truth about potato cakes. Thank you. Susan, you're up next. What do you know?
Hey, guys. What I know is that I'm probably one of the biggest ACC fans there is. I grew up in North Carolina for 50 years, and I moved here 5 years ago for my husband's job, and I travel with my job. And I started listening to you guys just to kind of stay awake, not listening to music, and now I am an absolute addict. I am an SEC fan, which is ridiculous. I knew nothing about the SEC when I moved here, nor did I care to know. But now, as soon as I get in the car, it's the first thing that I cannot wait to turn you guys on. I am all about the SEC. I'm all about the Preds. I'm all about the Titans. But mostly, I just love you guys' banter back and forth. I love your personalities. And we're moving back in July, and out of everything that I am going to miss when we move back to North Carolina, out of everything in the 5 years that we have lived here, it's going to be listening to you guys. And I told my husband, I said, I cannot believe I am not going to be able to listen to them on the radio. When we travel back to North Carolina now and we're driving back, I am just rampant the whole time I'm getting back going. How close am I now before I can turn them back on and listen to them? So I just want to thank you guys for educating me on all things SEC, but mostly just for being my Tennessee friends on the radio. I really, really enjoy you guys. You do a great, great job.
Wow. Thank you, Susan. By the way, bad news, no cure for what you've got. You're going to have to be an addict. I'm sorry. And listen to the show. By the way, we've got an app. You can listen to us anywhere in the world.
Still listen to us there.
Really?
Online, you can listen to us on our website, on our app.
Oh,
you can listen to us anywhere in the world.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I didn't know. Oh, okay, my day is made. Yay, I can leave Tennessee now.
Well, we don't want you to leave just yet, Susan.
I even like Jared.
Oh, okay. That's something people do. People do.
Everybody gives Jared a hard time, but I even love Mr. Jared. So I just appreciate you guys. Thank you for letting me call
in. Be careful. They're not going to let you leave,
Susan.
Jared's going to have you, staying in the state line somehow. He's going to find a way if you keep saying stuff like that.
Well, just remember, you can listen to us anywhere, Susan. So thank you for the call. That was very nice.
Thank you. Y'all have a great day. Bye.
Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, what do you know?
Here's what I know. It's summer 1977, basic training, Fort Knox, Kentucky. It's brutal. In the mess hall, they're blowing Eagles Hotel California out on the radio in the chow hall every afternoon. Then they announce Elvis Presley passed away. And I'm 16 years ago, took a bullet to the head, lost frontal lobe of my brain, both my eyes. I'm a disabled veteran. Can't see the Titans anymore visually, but I keep up with them constantly. King Henry's called King Henry for a reason. I'm a Titans fan, and I can give you more trivia knowledge about the Eagles. Would love to go to that concert, even though I couldn't visually see them. And I don't know what else to do. Hell, I dance a jig in Speedos in public.
Whoa,
for them tickets,
easy,
man.
Easy,
you know
Jeremiah.
What I mean? Hell, I ain't never won nothing in my life. You know what I mean? Hell, that something like that right there would be, I don't know how to articulate it. But anyway, you guys are awesome. I know that.
Well, thank you for listening, Jeremiah. Thanks for the call. And we would only consider that if Chase joined you in Speedos. That's the only way we would consider that dance. It would have to be you and Chase dancing in Speedos. Of course, video. We would video that and put that on our website and social media. We don't really want to see that, though, Chase. Do we really want to see Chase?
No, probably not.
He'd fall over, too, probably, dancing. Let's go to – we can say this because he's in a meeting. He's probably not listening. Kenny the Mailman, what do you know?
You know what? I had an awesome you know what I know for you, but I'm going to table it. If the disabled vet calls that's been wounded in before me, I bow before him. He deserves it. I'll talk to y'all Friday with what I was going to say. Y'all have a great
day. Thank you, Kenny. As always, good stuff. All right, man, great participation. Appreciate everybody for calling in. We will come back and start the third hour with TD. We talk with him next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.